Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. Tonight I'm going to continue on the topic of soul winning. I will be done by 8 o'clock. I will guarantee you that. But tonight I want you to keep your Bible open. We're going to use it. I'm going to teach a little bit. I'm going to preach a little bit. I'm going to do a little bit of everything, I think, tonight. I'm going to set us straight on some things that I think will help us. We've been through a couple generations of change in what I would call fundamentalism. Some for the good, some not for the good. And there's been some teaching that has been good, it's been motivating, but some of it's not all biblical, and I just want to set us straight, and I think you'll see where we're headed here in just a moment. John chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Skip down to verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask, or whatsoever ye ask of your Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were not of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now look at me. Much has been said by man about productive Christianity. And I'm going to lay a foundation here. We have the idea that Christians are to be like a factory worker producing other Christians. That is not what God says. The church is not a factory for producing Christians. The Christian is not a factory worker supposed to be producing Christians. First of all, listen to this, sinful man cannot produce a Christian, only God can.
That's right.
Say that again. We sinful humans cannot produce a Christian. We're sinful. Only God can. Now, a sinner can only produce another sinner. Man's pride causes him to want to produce results. God just wants us to obey so his word can do its work. Amen. Let me say that slowly and carefully. Man's pride causes him to want to produce results. God just wants us to obey so his word can do its work. We get caught up in results. We're success-minded. We're results-minded. If we didn't have more in Sunday school last week than the week before, we're failing. And if you didn't have more than you did a year ago, you're failing. If you didn't read more Bible last year than you did the year before, you're failing. You're backsliding. That's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. Somewhere along the way, and I'm not sure where or when, man started preaching, it's our job to produce fruit as Christians. Meaning, producing other Christians. They'll say this, the fruit of an apple tree is an apple. So the fruit of a Christian is a Christian, but that's man's thinking, not God's thinking. Say, why is that? Well, truth be told, You can't produce anything but sin. My Bible says we're not saved by enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the word of God. We are not saved by what man does, including ourselves. We are saved by the gospel and trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Therefore, Brother Scott, I can't produce another Christian. I can present the gospel so someone can become a Christian, but I cannot produce a Christian out of anybody. Everybody doing okay? It's a little quiet in here, but hang on. In other words, it's the gospel's job, it's the word of God's job to produce Christians. My job is to present the gospel. Now, soul winning, listen to this statement, is not seeing somebody saved necessarily. Soul winning is not seeing somebody saved necessarily. Soul winning is us going out, giving the gospel, witnessing, so that people have an opportunity to get saved. We are not the producers. We are the voices for God. It's said in, I believe, John chapter 1, Jesus said of John the Baptist, or John the Baptist said, I'm a voice. I'm the voice of one that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. We are supposed to be a voice for him, not a producer for him. Show me a Christian factory. Show me the parts and the components that go into making a Christian. Well, the only thing I know that makes a Christian is that book right there. And I don't make it, I just present it. So my job is not to be a church, is not a Christian making factory. That's the word of God's job. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. We are not the producers, we are the voices for God. We are nothing unless we are attached to the true vine. Look at John chapter 15 again. I want you to notice, now these are God's words, not man's words. Man did not write them, God gave them word for word, correct? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is an every word Bible. Now look at John chapter 15, verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Who is the true vine? Jesus. The husbandman is the Father. Now watch this. Here we go. I want you to notice something that it says here. Notice it doesn't say, I am the vine. It says, I am the what? True vine. God chose that word very carefully. That means there can be false vines. How many of you have ever grown tomato plants? Y'all know what I'm talking about. About once a week in the summer, you got to go out. My dad called, I think I know the right term, called suckering them. You go out there and take all the stem or all the parts of the tomato plant off that aren't going to produce fruit. They look just like the others, but there's no blossoms coming on there. So you pick them off so that it doesn't steal all the nutrients from producing more fruit. In other words, you got to cut those fake ones off. Jesus said, I am the true vine. That means there are fake vines. Then you get little things that, you know, that Virginia creeper weed that vines itself around this way all the way up. And the plants will actually attach to that and it'll choke it out. So you have weeds and you have false vines that you could be attached to. Or you can be attached to the true vine. But I want you to notice something. So we need to make sure that we are attached to the true vine. So the big deal about soul winning is us getting out the gospel. That's our job. I want to see people get saved. I enjoy seeing people get saved. Brother Josh and Brother Joe were out soul winning last night. Is that right? And they were knocking on doors. Talked to a teenage boy standing outside in his bare feet in that cold weather. Josh said, he was ready, Dad, but he was cold. He said, I talked fast. He said, it came time for the young man to get saved and pray. And he said, Mister, I'll do it, but can you hurry? My feet are froze. He said, we'll do it fast. And the young man got saved. I love when that happens, but how many hundreds of doors do you knock on in between there? Did you know knocking on the hundreds of doors in between are just as important as the one that got saved last night? Right. Their obedience to God was getting the gospel out. Now, listen to this very carefully here. I'd like to see people get saved. It is the gospel's job and the lost person hearing its responsibility to get saved. Not my responsibility. My responsibility is to give it. Their responsibility is to hear it and to obey it. Now, I should want lost people to get saved. I should be willing to go out and present the gospel so they can get saved. Everybody doing okay so far? Now hang on. We said there is a true vine and the Father is the husbandman, correct? But is it not true that there is a third person of the Godhead? The Holy Spirit. Where does he enter? And I'm going to show you. I want you to notice something. John chapter 15. Look down at verse 4. Abide in me, that's Jesus, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. We're the branches, remember? We can't bear fruit of ourselves. We have to be attached to the vine. Now watch this. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So who is the one that helps us bear fruit, and what is the fruit? The fruit of the Christian is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. According to Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. So it is the Holy Spirit bearing his fruit through our life. So as we go soul winning, others see in us something they need, something they want, will listen to the gospel and receive Christ as Savior. He's the true vine. God's the husbandman that oversees it all, and it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working through our voice and our life that they trust Christ as their Savior. That is true soul winning. Now, my job is to go out there and take the gospel to every creature. I'm also supposed to live with the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life producing. Notice it says, in one place it says fruit, then it says more fruit, then it says much fruit. As you do it more, and as you grow as a Christian more and more of the Holy Spirit can work through you, and the more times you go soul winning, the more fruit you will eventually see. That's what it says. Now, let's break it down to where we live, make it practical. Number one, Jesus is the true vine, we are the branches. We read that in verse number one, we read it in verse number five. The vine produces the fruit, not the branches. You realize if you take the branch off of the tree or off of the plant, it cannot bear fruit of itself. It gets all of its food, it gets all of its nutrients, it gets all of its life through the trunk or the main vine. That's why it says, except you abide in me, you're cast forth as branches, broken branches, that bear nothing. And you're burned. That's what it's talking about there. But it's not the branch that bears fruit. It is the vine that is bearing fruit. You can have all the branches on tree you want, but you bust up that trunk and the whole thing dies. You bust up the roots and it's not going to do much. If you're growing tomatoes and you get one of those stupid little bugs in there, starts eating on the roots of your plant, and you wonder why, man, I had all these blossoms and all of a sudden the thing turns brown in 2 days. And you're thinking, what got you? You pull it up and you say, got worms in the bottom of that thing eating up. Grubs and all kinds of stuff. You say, what happened? It wasn't the branch's fault. It happened at the vine. And the same is true with we Christians. A branch attached to something other than the true vine will not bear fruit. I know people who are saved, who go to the wrong kind of church, that never see anybody saved because the Holy Spirit cannot work through them because they don't have the fruit of the Spirit in them. I'm not being critical. It's just a fact. Now, they might have big church services. They might have fancy music. They might have all kinds of plays and dramas, and they have all kinds of crowds show up for their presentation, but very few people get saved because there is no Holy Spirit working through them for people to want it to get saved. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. A branch has no roots. It gets its life from the true vine. We are not to have our roots in the world. We're to have them attached in God. There are roots are to be attached to him. By the way, that means this. We can't claim any fruit for our own. It's not our fruit. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with the gospel that somebody gets saved. It's the fruit of the vine, not the fruit of the branch. We simply need to stay attached to the vine and not get pinched off with the other suckers. Sorry to say it that way. I've been waiting to say that. Brother Greg's been back there waiting on it. As soon as I said it, he's like, here it comes. Honestly, if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to look like one of those suckers. Get pinched off. Now, so number one, Jesus is the true vine. We are the branches. Number two, the fruit of the Christian is the fruit of the Spirit, not other Christians. The fruit of the Christian is the fruit of the Spirit, not other Christians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I quoted it to you a little while ago, but I want you to see it. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse number 22. The Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, capital S, let us also walk in the Spirit, capital S. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, we ought not act like the world. May I say this? The world's tired of what the world has to offer. I'll be honest with you. I would be a separated Christian just for the fact that it's different than the world. These preachers that get up and say, well, we need to let the world's music in. Let's bring the contemporary music in. We've got to reach the young people. So we'll use contemporary methods to reach them. No, what you're saying is, I'm going to become like the world to attract the world. My Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. I was talking to that man today at his place of business. And I said, now, I'm not contemporary. I'm old-fashioned. I don't do any of the newfangled junk. I said, matter of fact, our church motto is this. We're a hospital, not a museum. He said, I like that. He said, I bet you a lot of people come get help, don't they? I said, that's exactly what we say. And I said, they keep on coming. I said, isn't that what it's supposed to be? He said, yeah, but I've been in a lot of different kinds of churches and none of them are that way. He said, I think I'm going to bring my family. I said, good. Love to have you. I said, you'll come as a visitor, you'll leave as part of the family. That's the way it is at our church. He said, that's different. I said, not for us. I said, you'll enjoy it, I promise you. So we do not produce our own Christianity. How can we produce it in somebody else? We don't produce Christianity. We try to live the Christian life, but we do not produce it. It is produced by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. We are to live in such a way that the Holy Spirit can be productive through us, just like us attached to the vine. It is through the vine and the branch that we get the fruit. That's how we're to live. The fruit of the Spirit is there to work through us to cause the lost people to want to listen to the gospel. I'm not going to point anybody out, but I'm sure there are people in this room before you got saved, you had maybe a little different type of vocabulary than you have today. Maybe you used some words that you should not be using. Marcia, that's still today. I mean, anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you know that if you went to the door soul winning and used your old vocabulary at the door trying to win somebody to the Lord, how successful do you think you're going to be? Hey, you dirty blankety blankety blank blank blank. If you die, you're going to blankety go over blank and blank. Okay, you're not going to get real far with the gospel, are you? I was out soul winning with a new convert one time. Oh, God bless him. He was all excited. He really worked hard. And matter of fact, we were in South Carolina. I could tell you the name of the person. I won't. And he was all excited. And we had had this serial rapist going through the area. And he'd gotten several people. And he was disguising himself dressed in a suit. And yeah, it was not real. And it was one of those summer afternoons. And it's getting a little bit, just a little bit dusky. He was getting ready to go solo. He knocked on the door. He's talking real nice to this lady. And, she, you know, here's two guys standing on our porch. And she's getting a little worried, especially with the news of some pervert out there trying to take women and stuff. And he was getting a little excited, more excited than she wanted to listen to. And she didn't really want to answer the question, if you die tonight, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And I could see where it had her a little on edge. Well, I could see her kind of backing up a little bit, and then I couldn't stop him. He said, well, ma'am, if I had a gun behind my back, and he started like, and he went like that. I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. I said, do me a favor, shut up. And she looked at him, he looked at me, I said, step back. And I stepped in. I have never done it before or since like that. He didn't know quite what he was saying. He wasn't using the fruit of the Spirit or any sense. Now, he meant well, but it wasn't coming out real good. The fruit of the Spirit is there so that we use love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. We use the fruit of the Spirit in us so that people are willing to listen to the gospel. As you grow in the Lord, you have some things to, you can kind of take those shots here and there. And they say, well, that didn't work. Boom. Okay, that didn't work. Miss Wally, Brother Fred. Man, he fired it. He had a Gatling gun. It was, and he just watched me sit there going, it's okay. He couldn't figure out why I wouldn't go down. Finally, I wore him out. What was it? The fruit of the Spirit. It wasn't me. A couple times I wanted to tell him where to go. Here, well, a couple times I did because he was almost there. About 2 hours from it twice. And I looked at him, I said, Fred, if you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open. I know, preacher, but I'm not ready yet. When are you going to be ready? Good night. But the fruit of the Spirit is there to be in us so that we can reach more people. I'll be honest with you. There are times I have to absorb other people's anger so that I can get the gospel to them. I have to absorb their hurt so that they can find joy. I have to absorb some of their grief so they can get peace. I have to absorb some of their pain so that they can get long suffering. And you learn this through the Holy Spirit working through you. It's not a matter of, holy, 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 I'm God, now listen to me. That's a bunch of garbage. But as I stay attached to the vine and I stay in the book, the Holy Spirit then produces fruit through me. And it's, by the way, those branches can get heavy. Sometimes it's bearing a load. But if you bear the load, guess what? You can produce the fruit. And that's what God's talking about. So, Christians' fruit cannot be another Christian. People are born again by the gospel, by the word of God, not by a person. Don't get mad at me. I don't say, I saved somebody. I didn't save anybody. I led them to Christ. He saved them. But I didn't save anybody. If it was left up to me to be God, the whole world would be in trouble. Real fast. I was talking to two young people on Monday. I was counseling them. I knew one. I didn't know the other. They were having some marriage issues. I had them on a, I guess they... conference call. I had two people on one end and we were in three different states talking to each other. It was crazy. I talked to the young man. I said, well, before I go any farther, number one, do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? He answered in the affirmative. I said, tell me how. He told me the story. I happen to know because I want him to Christ. The other one, I said, and I'd never met the other person. Never met his wife. Never one time. Didn't even know her name till that day. I said, I know this is odd, but do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She said, yep. I said, can you tell me how? She told me when she got saved. I said, good. Now we have something to work with. Here we go. I do that. You say, why? That's the only way I could help them. But it's not me bearing fruit. That's the Holy Spirit. Number three, I've got to hurry. God gives the increase, man does not produce it. Let me say that again. God gives the increase, man does not produce it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read 8 verses, point out a couple things, and then I've got one more thing I want to say, and I'll be done. And I got to hurry. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to start reading the first 8 verses. Ready? Thy brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Notice that spiritual is small s. As unto spiritual people. But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, and ye are not carnal and walk, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is of Paul and who is of Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God, what's it say? Gave the increase. So then there is neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I want you to notice something. God says it's God that gives the increase spiritually. And when we try to do it, we're carnal. Carnal means fleshly. Now, we can only get the gospel out. Sometimes we're planting when we go soul winning. Sometimes we're watering when we go soul winning. Sometimes we get to harvest. We're never sure what it is because we're not sure what condition the person is, where they're at. Everybody doing okay? Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and reapeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It does not say that he was receiving the sheaves he planted that day. But he could be reaping from a field he planted months ago. In other words, we bring in the sheaves. It didn't say that he planted those. Now, the fruit of the Spirit shown in us can add credibility to the gospel. That's why I think when we go out soul winning, we ought to look like we represent the church. I think we ought to talk like it. I'm not for going to the... I've been soul winning in some pretty tough areas. Been soul winning in the gang areas. I've been in the roughest parts of South Chicago. I've been by the home of Al Capone where he grew up and soul went on his street. I've been in some pretty rough areas. When you're out there, you don't talk like the brothers. No, I'm the preacher. I'm going to talk like the preacher. I'm not going to come down to where they are. Everybody doing okay? I was out in L.A. during the Rodney King riots. I've run bus routes where the National Guard was posted keeping everybody out and said, dude, get aside. I'm running my church bus in here. Walked through on a Saturday before on the bus route, had about 8 or 10 black teenagers all around me taking me to all their friends, had a whole bunch of people saved the weekend of the riots. Had to sign forms for the National Guard to let me in. I said, what are you going to do? Shoot me with your gun that has no bullets? He said, you don't even have any bullets. What's the use? I said, they hate you. They love me. Don't worry about it. It'll make the fruit of the Spirit gives you a stronger passion for getting the gospel out. When you love people more, you don't want them to die and go to hell. Everybody doing okay? Yes, and the fruit of the Spirit also show a lost person how much God wants them to get saved. If you were willing to go out and tell them, and you tell the story how you got saved, and how you had potty mouth before then, and how God could change them, guess what? They might want it. Boy, that's good stuff. So it is the gospel that saves people, not us. Like in anything, the more you do it, the more harvest or the more results you'll see. Now, let me finish number four. To those of you who think you're spiritual. To those of you who have been brought up in a critical kind of Christianity, this should pluck your feathers. Number four. Fruit inspecting is actually doctrine inspecting, not salvation inspecting. Fruit inspecting is actually doctrine inspection, not salvation inspection. I've heard these people say, well, I'm not sure that person was really saved. I don't see any fruit of their salvation. It does not say you'll have fruit of your salvation. It says you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is not judgmentalism. So I guess you're not using the fruit of the Spirit to judge somebody's fruit. Everybody doing okay? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Boy, we got to hurry. Turn fast. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. I'm going to read this very quickly. You can catch up to me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of, what's the next two words? False prophets. Okay, that means bad doctrine, correct? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Who are you going to know by their fruits? Bad doctrine. It doesn't say you'll know the Christian. You'll know the bad doctrine by their fruit. Watch this. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And it's talking about doctrine. It's talking about a person's doctrine, not talking about somebody being saved. Because it was talking about false prophets. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang in there. We are to see if the Holy Spirit, or see the Holy Spirit is present in the fruit of someone's life. Somebody can walk through this church door, a drunkard, walk down this aisle and get saved. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. We can see him come back the next week. They're cleaned up a little bit. Instead of getting drunk 7 days, they only got drunk 3 days. Guess what? That's growth and grace. Amen. I'm not happy they got drunk, but they got drunk less. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that presence of the Holy Spirit or not? Sure. I guess it is. I can watch somebody walk in, and they have, dressed in a shirt, suit, and tie, just like me. Then they wanted to spit out bad doctrine. They looked better than the old drunk. But one was full of poison. One's growing in grace. One has the beginnings of the fruit of the Spirit. It might just be a blossom right now, but it's not fully ripe. One's going the right direction. The other is critical, negative, and spewing out false doctrine. Guess what? Give me the old drunk. I'll rebuke the other. Everybody doing okay? Say why? By their fruit you shall know them. See, we're to see the Holy Spirit is if the Holy Spirit is present, not the works of the flesh. I didn't take time to read these to you when we were in Galatians 5. Don't turn there, but I'll read this to you. But in Galatians chapter 5, it says this. Let me get the right chapter. That was chapter 4. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, if you shall fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the lust against spirit, spirit against flesh. These things are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. So when those things are present, notice strife. Do you ever notice people that come into a church and cause trouble because of doctrine? Oh, those are the people that cause strife. Well, the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about here. Look out. Be careful. I've got to hurry. There's so much I want to say there, and I have about a minute left. The devil has tried to deceive man about fruit since Genesis chapter 3. He's also tried to get man to disobey God about fruit since Genesis chapter 3. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now listen to this. The Holy Spirit in the Bible will tell us if someone is doctrinally correct. It's not our feelings or our emotions. It's not how I see it or my opinions. It's not the way we've always done it or how I always knew this that's important. What does the Scripture say? There are people in this room, as a child, you were taught one thing and it was wrong scripturally, but you still hold on to it because that's the way you always heard it. Just because you heard it first that way doesn't mean it was right. It is the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in biblical living, that the Holy Spirit works through us as we're connected to the true vine and we bear fruit. That's what keeps us clean doctrinally. I am a doctrine monger. I had a friend of mine contact me this week. He asked me about two preachers. He said, did Brother Hiles have troubles with this one and this one? I said, he did. He said, I'm having troubles with them. I said, join the crew. I said, and they're wrong in certain areas of doctrine, but it's so subtle, they know how to mask it. Oh. When I showed him, he said, got it, makes sense, thank you. Wasn't speaking critically, I didn't contact him, but when somebody asked me a direct question, I'll answer it honestly. And go around talking about people, you don't know who it is, any of them. Nah. See, since we have no ability to see or judge a spirit, we have no right to judge somebody's salvation. The only thing we can do is let the Holy Spirit work through us and we can see evidence of the Holy Spirit. A tree, an apple tree, is still an apple tree whether it has apples on it or not. An apple tree isn't going to give you pineapples. No matter how hard you try. Just because it doesn't have fruit hanging on it doesn't mean it's not an apple tree. Everybody doing okay? Now, our job is to get them producing fruit. Gotcha. But you know, some years it produces more than others. Sometimes it takes it a while before it produces any. It's our job to keep the tree healthy. By the way, that's what Proverbs 11:30 says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Who's the tree of life? Jesus. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that stays attached to the tree is a branch. The Holy Spirit can work through him to produce fruit is wise. Boy, that's good stuff. I've got to quit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's quit judging people's salvation. How about we just get the gospel out, try to get every person saved we can, and let's leave the judging up to God. Let's bear fruit. Let's wear the fruit of the Spirit in our life so people will listen to the gospel.